Today's episode is brought to you by Emco Beauty. Affordable, luxe for less, and cruelty-free beauty with every product under $50. Amazing, right?
I like ran to the studio today.
I'm so excited.
Ran here.
DLs for context. Revs and I are both wearing our Taylor merch.
Yep.
And I have friendship bracelets on from the concert and Revs is in her sparkly Taylor boots.
Yep, in my rhinestone boots.
We don't want the dream to end, basically. And it's not going to end because today we're going to wax lyrical about all things Taylor Swift. Obviously, if this ep is not for you, we'll be back to normal programming.
For me, this is larger than Taylor Swift. Mm-hmm. I have a lot to say about live events, about fandom, about
communion,
about womanhood. I have a lot to say. It's so much bigger than Taylor Swift, although obviously she is the center of all
the catalyst for all of this chat.
But anyway, let's start.
We have a thousand things to do, but we'd rather chat to you with emails and meetings and husbands and kids. We don't have time for this. Just what you need, two basic bitches with a podcast.
Hello and welcome to We Don't Have Time for This,
Taylor's version.
I'm your Swiftie host, Gemma Pranita, aka Gemma Pina on the gram, along with my Swiftie co-host,
Kate Allison Reeves. I'm not really Allison.
You're a wannabe Allison.
That's Taylor's middle name. And this is the level of detail I now know about Taylor Swift.
She's deep dived, guys.
I have.
Welcome to my world, Revsy.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Mm-hmm. Okay, there is a lot to say. Obviously, we need to set this up. Gem and I were both incredibly lucky that we secured tickets for the Eras Tour each separately.
Completely separately. We know that some people were like, oh my God, how did you guys get tickets? And we were like, in the exact same way as how other people got tickets.
I only had two screens open. I had my phone and my desktop. There was no trick. It just like came up on my desktop. I put it in. I tried to get four tickets. It didn't do it. So I tried for two. I got them. I'm actually stoked.
You get what you get and you
don't get upset. You don't get upset. But like, absolutely so grateful that we were able to go to this concert.
Having been to the concert now, it feels like a privilege.
It is. And I just want to have a moment for anyone who's a real Swiftie who doesn't get to experience this. I actually really understand the pain and I'm really upset that not every diehard Swiftie in the world can actually have this experience, because they should. They absolutely should.
Do you know what I found really interesting is the Swift mania that has swept over our city and the amount of people I've spoken to who are like, I wasn't a Swiftie, but I've been caught up in the fever of it and now I FOMO and now I regret not getting tickets. I was so blasé about it back in February last year and now I'm full of regret.
To be honest, it's kind of good that the OGs, that the real Swifties had more of a chance before the fever came to the city. So they had, you know, a greater opportunity to get tickets, I guess.
We hope anyway.
We hope. Oh gosh. Mm. Anyway, you got to say that up front because I know some people are really heartbroken that they weren't able to be there. We are overflowing with gratitude, as is my daughter. At her school, I think one other friend had tickets.
Wow.
In a school of 800 kids, I mean, in her year, you know, like only one other friend, her mum was able to get tickets. So we are one of the one in 10.
It feels absurd to say this, but it feels a little bit like winning the lottery.
It does.
But with 80,000 other people per night.
And for $600. $600 lottery ticket.
But Revsy, we did, and again, this is a coincidence because Revs and I didn't know each other was planning to get tickets, but we both went for the second tier, most expensive.
I didn't even try to get the VIP.
No, it's like over $1,000 a ticket.
Oh, Gem, if I had my time again, you would have tried to get it for her.
I feel exactly the same.
Yeah. I mean, I'm thrilled with that. Thrilled. I don't think there was a bad seat.
No.
I think being there was such a moment. I almost don't think it mattered where you were. I mean, I had floor seats. Very cool. You could weigh up the pros and cons of the view.
Who cares?
Who cares? It wasn't about that. You were there.
Yeah.
That's it. It's the moment. Being part and present and there in this cultural
movement.
And movement.
Yeah.
It was everything.
You know, Rebsy, I've been thinking about this a little bit. I had a transcendent experience at the Taylor Swift concert, and the only other time that I've also had that was when I saw Coldplay.
Mm.
I felt like I'd taken acid. I was on another planet, just living my best life, feeling all those feels of love, kindness, joy, happiness in communion with others, celebrating, you know, worshipping at the altar of Chris Martin, basically. Yeah. But there was a difference with Taylor, and the difference is everything that happens around the concert, everything from trying to secure tickets to the lead up, to thinking about outfits, to training and listening to her. Is it 14 albums?
Yeah, I think so.
Because you want to be word perfect.
Yeah.
And then there's this other corner of the internet, and it's a big corner, it's a Swifty corner, where there's these chants that you have to learn if you're a true Swifty.
Yeah.
And I found myself the week before hearing about these chants, and I wanted in on the secrets.
Yeah.
I didn't get that with Coldplay.
Yeah.
It added another dimension to the whole experience, all of the atmosphere around the concert
the
itself.
The fandom.
Mm.
As you say, like the corner of the internet, it's more like a internet population. It is so huge. It's a groundswell. It's like nothing. I have many theories on why it is what it is. So Gem and I haven't spoken since she went. We spoke after I went. I went on the Friday night, night one, and I took my 9-year-old daughter Isla. She is the reason I got tickets. She has been a pretty hectic Swifty for 2 years, 18 months in a big way, but she's been in love with Taylor for about 2 years. So I went for the tickets for her, and now, spoiler alert, I'm a mad Swifty.
Like, and forever changed.
Forever changed.
Yeah.
How long have you been a Swifty? Forever.
A while, but not forever.
Not since her first album or anything?
Not since her first few, actually, Rebs. My entry point, or my gateway album, if you will, was 1989.
Yep. Okay.
Now, prior to that, I've always dabbled and I've listened and I've had favorite songs, but 1989 was the first album where I was like, I am word perfect on every song, and every song feels like it speaks directly to me.
Yes.
And then actually that began my deep diving.
Okay.
A la Billie Eilish, a la Olivia Rodrigo.
Yeah.
Because when I fall in love with an album, I need to know everything.
Everything. Okay. 1989. And then you had a really big Folklore moment during lockdown, COVID lockdown.
And Evermore. Yeah. So it was my work music every single day of the week. Something about the albums Folklore and Evermore I found really grounding.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm obsessed.
I can see why you love Folklore. Like, I didn't know this. I'm embarrassed to say, but like, it's major storytelling. It's fantasy.
It's not about her life.
It's not about her and her life. It's like these characters, right?
Yeah. And she literally wrote the whole album in a cabin in the woods.
Yeah. Wow.
Like, it's so cool.
It's so good. Okay. So for me, I came to it via Isla, and the first album was Lover.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was her favorite.
So great.
And that was the first one I was word perfect on. And then we kind of reverse engineer went back to Reputation. And 1989. As well.
Yeah.
And then obviously when Midnight came out, we were
in,
straight in, and we know all of that stuff. So that's our journey. So I went on night one where, if you're aware, there was a huge electrical storm an hour before the support act Sabrina Carpenter was supposed to come on. So they had to evacuate the stadium. And
but Revs, tell the DLs how long it took you to get to the venue.
Well, it took almost 4 hours. Not quite, just under 4 hours. So we were stuck in the WestConnex tunnel while this was happening, and we were unaware. We were just blasting the music and being hyped, thinking, oh, I hope I get there soon. Because it all got delayed. They cancelled Sabrina Carpenter. They had to reset the chairs and wipe everything down.
And evacuate people.
Evacuate the whole thing. We missed all of that. We literally got in to the venue at like 7:15.
Whoa.
Went to the toilet. Isla was like, Mom, come on, come on, come on. And she was like rushing me. We walked down the stairs into the stadium. Then we hit the floor and we're looking for our section on the floor. And this huge cheer broke out, but it was localized. Like, we knew it was nearby. It wasn't the whole stadium. It was like something's happening near us.
Mm-hmm.
And we turn around. There's Mr. Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce, being walked into the VIP box, which is amongst the floor seats.
Yeah.
He was, Gem, 3 meters away from us.
Wild.
He had one security guy, and he wasn't a big beefy guy. The security, he's obviously huge, but like, it was just so cash. Like,
surprising.
Well, I said this to my partner. He's like, it's Australia and it's women. Mm. It's not a dangerous space for him, you know?
Isn't that interesting?
Isn't it?
Yeah.
But I was like, yes, how cool. I wonder if they like loved that. Anyway, so that was Isla's first cry. She was like, oh my God, he's here. Anyway, so then she was excited that we were going to get the lyric change in Karma, because she always changes the lyrics.
Karma is the guy from the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Instead of Karma is the guy on the screen.
Yes.
Which is the original lyric.
So she was so excited because she's a Swiftie and it's all those little secret, you know, like Easter eggs. She wanted that. So then they put up a 2-minute countdown.
Yes.
And we were like asking everyone, showing everyone our tickets, do you know where D6 is? Do you know where D6 is? And everyone was so nice.
Yes.
Everyone was like, oh, this is C5. So, okay, so maybe go that way. And then someone else would be like, yep, just over here. And then someone was like, this is K, you know, like putting their hands up.
But
the
that
friendliness.
Yes. That encompasses the Swiftie energy.
Yes.
Everyone is kind. Everyone is high vibes.
Yeah.
There's a sisterhood. There's a kinship. There's like family.
You do. No one's trying to be cool.
No.
Everyone feels grateful to be there. So no one's grabby about their spot or trying to like get more, you know, like there's no pushing.
I have to say, I loved the allocated seating for that
reason.
Amazing. I think I wish more concerts did that actually.
Same.
Because we've all been in general admission at something where there's always one dickhead behind you or in front of you, just making your experience that little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But you're trying to park it because you're like, I paid money to be here.
Yeah.
But having your designated seat, especially with kids,
yeah,
it makes you feel a little safer. Mm-hmm. You've got your spot for your bag and your water bottle.
Yeah.
You're not just going to be standing there for hours wondering, are we going to lose each other?
Yeah.
How's the crowd going to move? But again, Swiftie fans, you feel safe and
you
secure.
You feel so safe and grateful.
Yeah.
People were literally stacking up their empty cups and putting them in the cup holders to keep it neat.
Oh.
Like, this is a rock concert and everyone's just mumming all over the place. It was so lovely, so well organized, so well signposted, you know, all the things.
Yes.
Anyway, we got there with literally, it was like 3, 2,
crazy.
1. Isla got up, had to put it on her seat because she couldn't see.
Yeah.
She couldn't see shit.
You know, Revsy, I was in the stands and when I looked at the seating area, I was like, fuck, no wonder Isla had to stand up on a chair. Otherwise, she would be looking at the smalls of people's backs.
Yeah, she was looking at people's backs and like she couldn't even see a screen.
Mm.
That's how like buried in people she was. Everyone around us was incredible because you're not supposed to stand on your seat. But what we did was she stood on her seat and like draped herself on me and I kind of hunched down a little bit just so that we were taking up just my size.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't, you know, adding to blocking someone behind us, whatever.
Or calling attention from the security who were telling people to get off their seats.
Yeah. Anyway, everyone around us was so lovely. On one side of us, we had a gay couple who were gorgeous. On the other side of us, we had two mums with their 2 9-year-old daughters.
Amazing.
Everything was high vibes. I want to hear about your lead up to the show because that was my lead up.
Amazing.
Yeah.
God, what a hustle though. Was Isla stressed?
Yeah, she was dropping a bundle.
I know that feeling of like, we can't miss the beginning.
She was like, I can't miss her coming on. I can't miss her coming on. I was like, no, we're not going to miss it. We're not going to miss it. But we had to pee. We'd been in the car for almost 4 hours.
Mm.
And I was like, it's not going to be enjoyable if you're going to wet your pants. Anyway, we've just made it. We made it.
Amazing.
All's well that ends well.
So DLs, I went with 3 friends, quite a motley crew actually. Weirdly, I'm the glue that sticks everyone together. I went with my sister-in-law, Marley, and Sim, who works with me, and Claire,
the good mum.
So those 3 people don't hang out socially at all. But I can't even begin to tell you the Insta sisterhood friendship that formed just in our chat group, Era's Tour chat group.
Yes.
It was high vibes from the beginning. Now, Revs obviously gave me the tip off about how long it took her to get to the stadium. And I appreciate now with hindsight that that was storm related.
Yeah. And Friday night, because people were commuting home from work as well.
Ah, okay. I haven't factored that in. I was more thinking about how people in Australia forget how to drive
when it rains.
Mm-hmm,
we do.
Everyone drops 15 Ks below the limit. It's wild. Anyway, so we all traveled together. I drove because I am always playing the role of designated driver. I was happy to drive. My sister-in-law is 37 weeks pregnant and we knew she was going to be exhausted. Now, I had the perfect lead up to Taylor Swift. You know, when all the pieces fall into place.
Amazing.
So my sister-in-law had a colleague who'd recently moved to an apartment in Olympic Park Stadium and she had guest parking.
Amazing. Because the actual parking was gone the day the tickets went.
Yes.
Yes.
And she lived 10-minute walk from the stadium.
Beautiful.
So cruised on into her visitor's car park.
Beautiful.
It was free.
You could sell that space.
Seriously.
Yeah.
She moved in the week before the Taylor concert. That's
Stop
how
it.
Fortuitous.
Great.
Otherwise she probably would have clued onto that.
Yeah.
But she was like, yeah, take my visitor's parking. Anyway, then we met up with 2 other friends who we didn't have tickets with to have dinner.
Nice.
Now, this other friend knows the owner of this Ribs and Rumps restaurant in the Olympic Park area. And the week of, she called him up and said, hey, can I pull in some favors? Can I have dinner? Can I get a table at your restaurant? And he said, oh, I'm fully booked.
I've got no tables.
Like, there's no tables. Like, no. What are you doing? It's Taylor Swift. He's like, I'll pull some strings. So table for two. She's like,
wild. This is all going too well.
Right?
I'm waiting for a butt.
I know. And he said, yeah, so table for two. And she was like, table for six? Ah! And he was like, you're killing me, girl. Anyway, we arrive. There's a table for six. We sit there, champagne on arrival.
Oh.
And we're like, fuck, he's gifted us a bottle of champagne. I don't drink, but I'm loving everyone else's high vibes over a bottle of Verve before Taylor. Yes.
Amazing.
I don't even know this guy. Like, I felt bad.
No, but this is what Taylor does.
I know.
This is the Taylor effect. Everyone has caught. It's like the Olympics are in town.
Yes.
I love it when serious things become playful. Mm. Is there anything better in life than when, like, we turn up and it says on the big, like, flashing sign, welcome to Sydney Olympic Park, in brackets, Taylor's version. And all the announcements about, you know, all the things, cheeky, and they're using song lyrics and it's just fun.
So clever.
And it's like, yes, why can't life and annoying bureaucracy and, like, things you've got to do
be colourful.
Be colourful.
And fun and playful.
And fun and yes. playful. It's just brought out the best in people.
Yes.
Like sending over champagne to your friend's table because you know that it's six mums having a night out.
Totally.
And why wouldn't you just spoil them with a bottle of champagne if you could? Because vibes.
Because vibes.
Because vibes.
So it gets better.
Okay.
So we order our dinner. Dinner's terrific. And then we go to pay and the waitress says, oh, he's picked up the bill.
Oh, stop it.
Yeah.
I love it.
And I'm like,
I love it.
Swiftness.
Swiftness. I love that.
More Swiftness in my life. So, of course, all six of us can't believe it.
Oh.
We're like, could this night get any better? So we head over to the stadium and I am shameless about content creation in a public space.
Yeah.
You know me, my biggest fear in life is to end up on
Influencers in the Wild.
Influencers in the Wild.
Yep.
I get very embarrassed about shooting video in public. I feel self-conscious and that people are watching me.
Not here.
Not here.
Everyone's doing it.
I was strutting about in my costume.
People aren't just making content. People are helping each other get the shot. We got so many offers. Do you want a photo together?
Yeah.
Like, and I nominate myself in life generally to take photos to people because art director, I feel it's like being a doctor when someone's unwell.
I feel the
you
same
have to
reps.
Help. So I'm used to that. But everyone was asking us. And that never happens to me.
Mm.
Like, do you want a video? Do you want some photos? Like, it was so
great.
Nice, the camaraderie. Okay,
yes.
So you got your like sick
so
content.
We're cruising around and we've still got an hour. And I loved people watching, soaking up the atmosphere outside the stadium, looking at what people are wearing. And then you see those people walking around with signs saying, please, one ticket.
Yeah.
Has anyone got a spare ticket?
Yeah.
Happy to buy a ticket. Like, I probably walked past maybe 15 people.
Yeah.
Some of them were really young, like teenagers. And then a couple I could tell were mums on the hustle.
Just trying to get their kids in.
Yeah.
Yep.
Trying desperately.
Oh, it actually breaks my heart.
It breaks my heart as well. And then I walked past another section. I don't know if you saw this, Rebsy, but it was like a little gated off area and there were people with camping chairs and picnic blankets and none of them had tickets, but they were there to listen to the show.
Yeah. And this has been happening around the world.
It's amazing.
And some cities, Sydney didn't, I think because we don't have the infrastructure, but some cities have set up external events.
Wow.
If they've got green space and like if they've got the space, they've set up or allowed, you know, or like had food trucks come in and all sorts of things for that sort of outside concert. I think in the States it's been a huge vibe, but I think a Sydney Olympic Park doesn't have the infrastructure and they were kind of discouraging that, but I think it's cool.
Well, there were definitely people there ready to soak up the music from over the walls of the stadium. And to be honest, at this point, as mentioned, Sabrina Carpenter was performing and the energy was palpable.
Oh yeah. The sound was so good that you could hear the whole concert. It would be like listening to the live album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the four of us headed into the theater and we
stadium.
Sorry, the stadium. Oh, and we were stoked about our seats because we were in the front of the raked seating area. We were near an aisle. So my 37-week pregnant sister-in-law could dash to the toilet really easily. But one of my favorite parts of the night, Rebsy, was chatting to the Swifties around us.
Yes, 100%.
There was one girl who had traveled from Perth.
Mm.
Her grandmother had made her coat.
Wow.
And it was a green sparkly coat with patchwork, the snake, Eras tour. Like, it was a work of art. Wow. I couldn't stop looking at it. And then I got chatting with her and she was like, I said, how long are you in town for? And she's like, well, I'm actually staying for the rest of the week because the Jonas Brothers are playing next week. So I'm trying to make the most of it.
That's going to be a big letdown.
I know. I didn't want to say it, but I was like, oh yeah, not quite the same.
You could say, oh yeah, because I'm going to Elvis tomorrow. And I'd be like, yeah.
I wanted to say to her, wow, you're really approaching this in the wrong order.
Yes.
It's not your fault. And then next comes the trading of bracelets or girls who had like 3 dozen bracelets on each wrist and were happy to just hand them out.
Yep.
And I got a reputation one, which I love because I dressed in reputation, but I didn't have a bracelet to match. And all of a sudden my outfit was complete thanks to this Swiftie.
Yes. Isla traded, well, her first trade was with the Mounted Police.
Love it. Why so not?
She did a trade with a cop, and then a little girl came up to her and traded, and then she traded with all the people around us, and same thing, she didn't have a reputation either. And I haven't talked about our fits. Me and Isla had matching fits.
They were amazing.
It was everything, a little behind the curtain. Mm-hmm. We had 3 ideas. We bought all the things for all 3 ideas. We tried everything on. We like auditioned different eras, different vibes, what we wanted to do.
And did you let her choose?
I let her choose, and she decided we would do reputation. I was very thrilled.
Yeah, I would say that of the three, because I was given access to the photos of what the 3 options were, and I was quietly hoping for reputation.
But doing a matching outfit with my kid for an event and all that lead up excitement. And
I've got goosebumps, Revs.
The discussion about like, oh, do we want to be country like Nashville Taylor and like curl our hair and go all really girly and all that. And I was like, it's not our vibe. You know?
But this was the most incredible thing about this Eras tour. Now for DLs who aren't Swifties who have committed to tuning in on this episode, what is really hard to take in is that Taylor Swift is a 35-year-old woman with a dozen albums under her belt.
And an immeasurable number of number one hits and number one albums.
And album of the year wins.
Yeah, like a 20-year career.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, to give you some perspective on that, Adele has released 4.
Yeah.
You know, we all love Adele. This isn't shaded Adele.
No, no, no.
But this is just to show the magnitude of her body of work.
How
her
prolific
canon
she is.
Of work.
Yeah.
And to have that many eras where it's a hard decision to choose which Taylor to show up as.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why this Eras tour was extra special is because normally she puts out an album. Album, like 1989, and then she tours the 1989.
Yeah,
she the puts classic that reputation.
Music structure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But because of COVID, and she worked her tits off to put out as much music as possible to stay connected with her fans because she couldn't tour, she ended up launching 4 albums. So when it came to conversations with her team around touring, they were like, what are we going to tour?
Yeah.
And so she went away and she thought about it, and she came up with the concept of, why don't we do an Eras tour? So that we can do a trip down memory lane and honor all of the albums that I've released over the last 4 years.
Yeah.
That's why Swifties and non-hardcore Swifties came out, because everyone has that one album that they feel connected to that they can get a taste of.
Yes. And it was so cool watching everyone's different costumes, and then you could, it was kind of like your way of saying like, this is my favorite era. Or I know there are particular Swifties who managed to secure multiple tickets for different nights, and they were like, they would do this for night one and this for night two.
Amazing.
Different looks. And there are tears, right? So there's like, I would say there's a lot of mums in cowboy boots and cowboy hats and pink, you know, whatever, with their kids who have gone all out in like a costume, whatever. Then there's people who've like, okay, I'm going to really go in hard into an era. Then there's like the super Swifties who have recreated an actual costume.
Yep.
You know, this is personal area of interest. So Taylor has like 2 or 3 versions of each costume, I guess because some are in the wash, or I don't know, just for interest.
But they're slightly different
in design and color. So you don't know which ones you're going to get on the night. And like, you know, one of them would be wearing the blue and gold bodysuit, and she came out in the blue and gold bodysuit.
Oh,
and it's like all these little details, you know, but watching people's effort.
Yes.
And the fact that the effort itself was not cringe.
No.
There was nothing cringe about it. You would just clap and smile at them and be like, love your costume.
More is more.
More is
more. In this case.
Yeah.
And just to go back to the chat about Coldplay, I literally chucked on some jeans and some sneakers and a top and off I went. I didn't think about my outfit for Coldplay because it would be cringe if I turned up in rhinestone cowboy boots and glitter all over my face. So you kind of play it chill, you know, a la Chris Martin, what he kind of vibes.
Yes.
You catch the energy of that and that's how you show up. But not with Taylor.
No.
You think about it for weeks. I mean, I'll admit I had an outfit mishap.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, look, it's not a big deal. It turned up and it didn't fit. But I sold it on really quickly. And then I had to patchwork a new outfit together.
Loved your fit. Loved it.
Thanks, babe.
I loved it.
I got it from Shopo. The delivery was freaking fast. And then I took myself off to Kmart, bought a bodysuit.
Love it.
Bought a belt from Sports Girl. You know, like I love it.
Loved the hair. Loved you and the Good Mums fits together. I love that you got ready together.
It was so fun.
So fucking.
Revzy, I'm going to be honest.
Yes.
Watching your experience of experiencing Eras Tour through your daughter warmed my heart so much. And me and the Good Mum had this chat. We wish that we could go twice.
Yeah.
And we wish that you could go twice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We wish that we could go with our daughters, but we also wish you could have come.
Do you know what? Thank you, but I'm good.
No, like, no, no. I get it. I totally get it. And I feel that about you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And I can live through Isla's experience and Rafa's too young. It's not the right time, and there will become a time where she is the right age for a concert. But to experience it into the different layers of seeing Taylor, I think would be an incredible experience.
Yeah.
Like the ideal situation for me, if Rafa was 9, for example, would be to go to like a Monday night show with her after I went to the show on Saturday.
Yeah.
And this is the other thing, DLs. I am in awe of this beast of a woman who I now consider not human.
No.
An athlete. I was wrecked.
Oh, broken.
Yes.
Absolutely broken.
I kept saying to people, I feel hungover without the booze. Uh-huh. I feel like I've been hit by a freight train.
Uh-huh.
I'm so fatigued and exhausted. I'm high.
Yeah.
I'm still on cloud 9 floating about, but it's a heavy cloud because all I want to do is sleep.
My bones hurt.
Yeah.
And she got up and did another concert. Four.
Four in a row.
And she's been on tour for what, 6 months?
It's wild.
She's got 6 months to go. How? What is she on?
No, she's not human.
She's not. She's an athlete. Like she is a creative, artistic, business athlete. It is bow down territory.
Babe.
Like, respect.
When she turned up on stage in her first sparkly leotard number, she looked like a mini disco ball in the center of the stage with tens of thousands of people around. Now you get this light up wristband, so everyone's lit up. It's magical. Mm-hmm. It is Swiftmas. Mm-hmm. And I turned to the Good Mum and I was like, if an alien rocked up right now, they would say,
she is our leader.
She is their leader.
It is mother.
It is mother. Yeah, we had that moment. You wouldn't question it.
Yeah, you wouldn't.
The power.
You'd be like,
oh,
well, okay, she's here to save people.
It's extraordinary.
It's extraordinary. The thing you've got to remember about me taking my kid's easy. She's 9, but she's also an incredibly mature 9. At one point I left her in the seat and went and got us both a drink and came back, you know, like she was bossing me around, like, come on, Mum, hurry up, you know, like she was so fine. But also she's not just a 9-year-old who likes Taylor Swift. She's a mad Swiftie, you know, so I actually got more from it from her because her emotions were so huge. I've never seen it from her. Like I've just never seen this level of feeling from her. And she's a big feeler. Mm-hmm. I've never seen and felt this emotion from her. But what a gift. It was everything. It was like big call. I know this is a big call. This is the meaning of life, to experience communion with all these other human beings in this one place at one time through music, through the eyes of your kid.
Yeah.
What more is there to life? Yep. Like, this is it. I think it's important that she knows, like, what a pinnacle this is. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not something we can do every weekend. Like,
do you know what? Hearing Isla speak, but also learning about the rawness of her emotions through you, it's almost healing for baby Jem. Okay, stay with me.
Oh, yes.
I felt my inner child was unlocked.
100%.
Now, I relate to Isla so much because I'm someone who feels things so deeply. And it's actually one of my favorite things about myself. Mm. I feel like we don't say that very often.
Now it is.
But I just love how much I froth on anything. But even if it's like Olivia Rodrigo's album, like I feel like, oh my God, other people aren't living. And I'm not saying that in a smug way, but it's like I'm proud of the fact that I'm a dorkable in that sense of just wanting to know every detail so that I can experience it in the most 360 degree way.
Yes.
And it got me thinking, and I had this chat with the good mum. You know, we don't have the core mem that Isla has.
No.
I think about my obsession with Hanson and my obsession with the Spice Girls.
For me, it would be the Spice Girls. Yes. Yeah. I would have cried nonstop if I had seen the Spice Girls.
But we didn't have that opportunity, Rebs. Like, Isla got to see her current hero in real life, in real time.
At the peak of her career.
Yes.
Yeah.
We don't have that because they didn't travel to Australia. Or if they did, we didn't have social media where you learnt about things the way that you do now. It was different.
We only had the school community and what people at school and maybe TV Hits magazine would tell us is happening around the world, and then like the movie.
But do you have a childhood concert that you went to?
I don't.
Did you see Backstreet Boys?
No, I never went to a pop concert until Kylie Minogue when I was like 15.
Okay, but was she at the peak of her career?
No, it was great, but it was nothing like that. We didn't have a Taylor Swift.
No, I feel like it's the Spice Girls.
Yeah, probably the Spice Girls.
The girl power element.
Yeah, and the culture around
it. The Beatles mania.
The feeling, fashion, the feeling, and the permission.
Yes.
Like the absolute permission to just be fanatical about something, and it's okay.
Mm.
On the fanatical fandom part of it, I want to talk about the haters.
Oh my God, you took the words right out of my mouth. Because I keep hearing people use the term hysteria in conjunction with the word Swiftie, or that Swifties are hysterical.
Sure, we are.
Yeah, but it feels misogynistic
to
me.
Well, it is, because have you ever heard anyone roll their eyes and smugly look down their nose at the State of Origin grand final, at, you know, anyone going wild over their sports team, about little boys crying when their team...
Oh, no, they call those men just passionate.
Passionate, right?
But girls are hysterical and crazy.
Yeah.
Obsessed.
Obsessed and, fanatical and a bit psycho, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's why the concert felt so amazing, is because it was okay.
Yeah.
And even Isla saying that, like, I could just be me. Like, I could just.
Yes.
She said it wasn't embarrassing. Like, everyone was in it and just being there. And, like, there was no cringe to be seen because Taylor's cringe.
She is.
Although, can we just say how well fucked she seems? Girlfriend is well fucked.
I did not expect those words to come out of your mouth. Can you please expand?
Because she comes up in that opening moment. She's like, my name is Taylor and I was born in 1989. Cue my kid absolutely crying, losing her mind. She rises up to the stage in that glittery bodysuit, looking like an absolute specimen. The confidence, like, she's not cool. I love what Mia Friedman said about how, like, her analysis is like, she's not cool and that's why it's okay to not be cool and everyone can just go and enjoy themselves.
My favorite sentence from Mia Friedman's article, just quickly, was she talked about how she's seen Beyonce, she's seen Rihanna, and she said they are cool.
Yeah.
But Taylor runs warm.
Yes.
Taylor is approachable. Taylor
feels... She invites you in.
Yes, she does.
She does. I was ready for that because I watch her on her socials and her interviews and stuff, and she is like that. Like, you feel like you know her.
Yeah.
So she's not behind glass. She does everything for her fans. You know, everything's with them. She buys into all of that, which is so cool. She doesn't pretend she's above it or like separate to it. She's grateful and loves it and uses it but in a really great way.
Can we talk about her generosity to everyone else in her traveling circus? I felt like I got to know her dancers in an intimate way.
Yes.
I felt like I knew her band members because she's constantly giving to everyone else. She wants everyone else to share
have
the
their
spotlight.
Moment.
Yes.
But what I wasn't prepared for, and so I was there the night Travis Kelce was there. Mm-hmm. So in my head, I'm like, she knows he's here. I could feel that layer.
Oh, yeah.
Girlfriend had a confidence.
It was reserved for him.
It can only be explained by Hoglow. She had a Hoglow. She'd been fucking. She'd had a good sesh. And look at him. He's divine. Mm. Like, you know,
but
good
also,
on you, Tay Tay.
When your significant other is there, when you're touring, you're doing the same show.
Yep.
And part of the discipline of being a professional, and I'm not saying that Taylor's working hard to deliver an amazing show to her audience. I think she does that innately. Mm. But when you do a show on repeat, you have to remember that this is the audience's first experience and you need to continue to give 200%.
Yep.
I've talked about on the podcast before when I saw Wicked the musical on a Wednesday night, and boy, was it a Wednesday night show. Not Taylor, right?
No.
But with her beau
yeah.
in the audience.
In Sydney on a hot night. Like,
Rexy, you had this one Americano
yes.
came to our show.
Totally.
We're not in the same league.
It's fine. I'm Taylor. Okay? It's fine. He's Travis Kelce.
But it just elevated your senses
it
slightly.
Does.
You performed the show to our DLs,
yeah.
but then there was an element of
yes.
you being like,
hey, babe.
He's my beau
yeah.
and he's seeing me in my element and I want him to be proud, right?
Yes. I could feel that on her,
yes.
the confidence and the way she sort of struts. Did you think the
yes.
choreographer's genius? Because it's quite covertly good. She doesn't do a lot of dancing because she's not a dancer.
Well, this is the thing, DLs. I've had many a conversation with people who didn't go to the Taylor Swift concert but have consumed all of the content online. And they were like, how the hell does she jump up and down and dance like that for 3.5 hours?
In those shoes while singing.
But she isn't jumping
yeah,
up
yeah,
and
yeah.
down.
Yeah,
that's
she's not.
The secret.
Mm-hmm.
She is strutting.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's not fatiguing.
Oh, right.
I mean, her stage is this length of a freaking football field. But the choreography is so clever.
So clever.
In that it is detailed work that is pared back.
And precise.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would say the era that she had to work the hardest in terms of physical movement was Reputation.
Yeah, because she did a bit of dancing. And the finale.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And the finale.
Yeah, and her dancers are amazing and they're like so diverse and interesting
mm-hmm.
and her singers are great. Yeah, they bring all the dancey. Ad break.
Got to keep the lights on.
Hey, Jem, want to play a game?
Do I ever not want to play a game?
Okay, if you lost your makeup bag, what are the 3 MCO Beauty products you would immediately repurchase?
Flawless Glow Luminous Skin Filter.
Okay, they didn't even hesitate.
Well, it's my first step. Primer, concealer in one.
And it creates that dewy finish that we love.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so number 2 mm-hmm. would be the Super Glow Bronzing Drops.
Knew it, called it.
I mean, I love the Sun-Kissed Bronze look, obviously,
mm-hmm.
especially as we're going into the cooler months, Rebsy.
It's so hydrating.
Yep. And my last pick would be
Extend Lash Mascara.
Ah, of course. My fave.
Well, it's everyone's favorite tubular mascara, actually.
So DLs, head into Chemist Warehouse, Woolworths, Big W, or jump online to mcobeauty.com to stock up on all of their cult faves.
And check out their new products today.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Jem, another layer I just couldn't escape because this is how we live, is the technical aspects of everything.
Can we talk about the production?
Guys, like Jem and I know how hard it is to simply get a screen in time with a vocal.
With audio.
These things are so difficult. The sound was impeccable.
Mm-hmm.
There was no delay. The way they were live beaming what was happening on stage, and that was cross-editing with pre-filmed creative, the lighting.
Perhaps the screen?
The screens, including the actual stage.
The stage screen. But the visual element was
yeah.
like another character to the whole
so
thing
cool.
that added to the storytelling, which
yep.
I thought was really cool.
Yep.
There was no set background. It was changing worlds.
Yeah, it was.
And there was a theme of this house
yep.
where the house would change from, you know, a folklore wooden house all the way to like a modern scaffolding style house for the man. The set. Where did these
How?
Come from?
How
are they packing it down?
Yep.
How are they traveling with this?
How are they allowed to do fire flames?
Yes.
In a stadium of 80,000 people.
Did you feel
we
the heat?
Even, yes. We weren't even allowed naked flame a candle.
I know.
Because of OH&S. How? How? And then the fireworks show, the confetti, the snow, the rain, like all the things.
The coordination of the wrist lights.
I can't even.
So we all had these little lights, as I mentioned, but they timed to the music and to the song.
And to where you were in the stadium.
Yeah. So for example, in the song Lover, I looked across the stadium at a wall of people and I could see 2 clearly defined hearts.
Yeah. How?
From people's wristbands.
They're just handing it out to every Tom, Dick and Taylor as you walk in. And it's like, how do they know where you are? I don't understand. What is this technology?
It's incredible.
Incredible.
We'll say the first people to use that technology was Coldplay.
Oh, there you go.
It's in their documentary. And when I went to their show, I was like, this is fucking amazing.
Sick.
And I was very excited to see
this
it again.
Is the thing. It's not just Taylor and her music, because this is what the haters say. The haters go, her music's not that good or whatever. I'm not even going to go into that. Her music's amazing. She's an incredible songwriter. She's a little Trojan horse because
mm-hmm.
every song sounds like a love song, and yet it's about business betrayal, about misogyny, about her mother. Yes, about ex-lovers, of course, about friendship heartbreak. She writes these Trojan horse songs that are about so much more. And like, not to become become a full nerd. But at drama school, a big thing we were taught is the universal is in the specific. Mm-hmm. And that's what she does. She tells these stories that are so specific to her. If someone else had written a song for you, they could never get that specific because it's not their lived experience. But because she writes her own songs and they are about girlhood, mm-hmm. this like honest experience of girlhood. And then of course she's transitioned over her 20-year career into womanhood, that my daughter as a 9-year-old and I as a 38-year-old woman can hear these songs and my daughter will take one thing and I'll take something else, but it feels deeply personal and you feel deeply seen. And then also it's a fucking bop. When people go like, her music's not that good, and they start comparing her. I don't know why people compare her to Beyonce. It's apples and oranges. But anyway.
You can love both.
It's fine. No one's asking you to choose. Give up Beyonce to love Taylor Swift. And also, of course, you have the right to not like her music. It's fine. Of course, it's not going to be for everyone. It's subjective. But the show is so much more than her catalogue of music.
It is.
It is a theatrical, I'm going to say it, religious experience. It is what I imagine a mega church is like, you know, where it's like your senses, every sense from, as you say, the heat, the temperature, the lighting, the sound,
it's visceral, the whole thing.
Your entire body is stimulated in the most beautiful, loving way.
Can we talk about that for a second?
Yes.
I had to constantly ground myself. I don't know if you had this, Revs, but I was having such an out-of-body experience where I was so overwhelmed. I kept finding myself trying to take in the magnitude of this event. And then I would glitch my brain out of it and go, no, Jem, you love this song. Don't miss this song. But I struggled to be present because I wanted to cry.
Yeah.
Revs, I cried so many times.
Oh, yeah. I cried for the first hour. Non-stop.
On and off. I was like a tap. And anything would trigger me. I would turn to the left at a song that I didn't know the lyrics to very well. It was actually All Too Well, the 10-minute version, right? I know some of the parts, but I don't know it end to end.
Yeah.
There were three Swifties sitting next to me who knew every freaking word of that 10-minute song. And I stopped watching Taylor and I watched them. And I feel like crying now.
You're making me.
But I just wanted to cry because they were locked into Taylor. Yeah. One of them had her hand on her heart and she was just singing it with every cell in her body. And I felt like she was vibrating in frequency with Taylor. And I was like, you're so connected to her and I'm not part of it, but just to witness it is the most beautiful thing I have ever seen in my life.
Like as if those three girls, they will have experienced some guy breaking them like a promise or being casually cruel in the name of being honest. All those like lyrics where you're like, yes, that is an experience of a young 21-year-old girl. And you might be 38 or 48 or 58 now, but you were 21 or you're 15 and you know that feeling. Mm-hmm. I didn't appreciate until the concert, as you said, looking around at all the other women of all the different walks of life, of all the different ages, connecting to those lyrics and going like, she's so vulnerable. It's like she puts her heart on the stage. Okay, can we get unemotional for a minute?
Yes, yes.
What's your favorite era?
Of the show.
Of the show.
Okay, because it's not my favorite album to listen to.
Okay.
It is my favorite album for the show, and it is Reputation.
Same.
And because
it was the most theatrical.
Well, Revsy.
I loved it. I loved the costumes.
Just to get super nerdy again.
Yeah, yeah.
As I mentioned, it's not my favorite album to listen to, but I knew it was going to be the best theatrically.
Yeah.
So I trained that album in the lead up. It was
fresh. You were ready.
I knew I needed to listen to that more than any. I just knew the performance elements would be huge. Yep. I knew there would be choreo elements. I knew the costumes.
That costume, that one-legged snake suit.
Hot as hell.
Did you know? I didn't realize that whole album was a clapback to Kim Kardashian and Kanye.
Yes.
I know. I'm an idiot. I thought it was because she got a bit cancelled and then she kind of came back with it. Like she went dark and then came back with the album. I didn't understand the snake reference because Kim Kardashian called her a snake.
Yes.
I missed this. I missed all this.
Oh, I love that you've deep dived, babe.
Thank God. Because what a layer. And then I was like, boss. Like, how else do you come back to, like, and I remember when Kim and Kanye, they were on the cover of Vogue, they owned the world. They had the place Taylor has right now.
Yeah, they're in the zeitgeist.
In the culture, yeah. Where they had the keys to the kingdom and they were king and queen and they were everywhere and they could do whatever they want. And they, like, took her down in this, like, very degrading, mean way because they were the cool kids, mm-hmm. and they took her down. And then the way she came back with this, she hadn't had an album like this until this moment. Anyway, watching it with that, I was like, yes, yes. What a absolute slay.
Have you watched Miss Americana?
Yes.
So Reputation doesn't get a Grammy nom.
Oh, that's right.
And she's heartbroken.
Yes, that's right.
But it is the dark horse album in her canon. It's my favorite. Because it had delayed cult status.
Right. Okay.
Which is a really interesting thing with the album. The other albums popped off in the moment. Instantly,
yeah.
But Reputation was a slow burn.
Right.
And honestly, at the concert, it was the best era. You couldn't fault it.
I just thought about her. If you think about how trolled she was and how awful that would have felt. All the time. Look, I know we don't have to get out a tiny violin for Taylor Swift. She's fine.
She's a human.
She's
she
a human
hurts.
Being. She's
she
a human
cuts.
Being.
No, I disagree with that. When people are correct and go, it's Taylor Swift and she has billions of dollars. I don't give a fuck. Yeah. She's still someone's daughter.
Yeah. Absolutely. She's a human being and she does bleed for us on the stage. And I was thinking about, like, oh my God, knowing this layer of what this album is and what it means, and then thinking of her standing there from her POV, looking at it like, look who's fucking laughing now. Mm-hmm. Like, look. And she built that on just vulnerability and honesty and intensely honed craft and creativity.
You're missing the layer of not being a pushover and not being silenced. Mm-hmm. That's what I find so powerful in that album.
Yeah.
And I love it. I have to share.
Okay.
And it feels weird to share this on an episode where we want to give a glowing report to the Taylor Swift concert because we loved every part of it. There was one thing that disappointed me.
Yeah. I know.
You can't, what? You can't. I have to be honest.
You can't do this.
I have to be honest.
No.
As mentioned, 1989 was my gateway album to Taylor Swift. It is my favorite album. I know it back to front. I know every lyric. I was disappointed by that era.
What, the whole era?
Okay, not the whole era. My favorite number one song is called Wildest Dreams.
Yeah, love it. Love it.
You didn't love it?
I didn't love it. Is there a possibility, because it's your favorite, it could almost never be what you needed it to be?
No.
What was...
Okay, let me ask you this, Revsy. This will be the real test. What happened in Wildest Dreams?
I can't remember.
Forgettable.
Remember. Yeah, okay.
Were there dancers?
I can't remember.
There weren't.
What was she doing? Singing it?
Yeah. Okay. And do you know what was on the screen? What felt like Getty stock footage.
Oh my God, no, Jen. You can't talk like this about mother.
Bed sheets.
I'm worried for your safety.
I know. I'm worried.
Oh yeah, the bed sheets.
Boring.
Or elegantly restrained.
No, it was not elegantly restrained. It was not. So for starters, in the 1989 era part of the concert, she medleyed it. So I already hated that.
Yeah,
and I understand she needed to pack more songs in because it is such a loved album. Mm. And look, she was time poor. Okay?
I liked the medleying.
I didn't. A verse and a chorus and a bridge and a chorus is not enough for me. I need all the verses. You're telling me.
You needed more than 3 hours and 45 minutes.
No, I'm not saying that. What I could have maybe have given up was a few minutes of the 10-minute version of All Too Well.
Oh my God, you're going to be murdered. They are. Oh, I need to call security detail.
Stop it.
No.
Let me be honest and vulnerable.
Okay.
I know. But hear me out. Okay. All right. Let's just say I understand her reasons behind the need to medley all of those songs in that album. All right. I'll forgive that. Wildest Dreams music video is epic.
Everything. It's everything.
She stood there on a little raised tower.
Little.
Okay. A big raised tower. Fuck you. Whatever.
Just how everything's changed.
There were no dancers and there was just what felt like stock imagery of bed sheets. And I was like, this is not Wildest Dreams. I felt like the art director or the director ran out of steam. They ran out of ideas. And I was like, I've got so many for this moment that would have made it spectacular. It felt like an afterthought. It was the only song. Okay. There were other songs in the 1989 era where they had dances and cool shit. Okay. I'm not going to deny that. And I loved it. But that one song was a fizzer.
Okay.
I got it off my chest.
I'm glad you got that out.
I did.
Oh, kind of wish you'd done that in the car and not on the bus.
I'm sorry. I know it's personal and I know that other people will go, oh my God, Wildest Dreams.
Because that's your song.
I challenge anyone. No one's going to say it was a moment. It wasn't. Revs, you couldn't even remember it.
Fair enough. My song that I loved is My Tears Ricochet, which I don't like the name of the song. And neither. I've come to it late because I was always like, what?
Yeah.
But it's an amazing song. And I love that. And I felt it in my body. And her vocal was perfect. Now, when I said this to you, when we spoke after I went, I said, Jem, you're going to love it. You're having the best time. Her vocal is perfect. And you said she must have tech. But does she?
No, she definitely
having
does.
Having been there, can you, like, you know what you're listening
to. So I spoke to a trained sound engineer about this.
Okay.
I did. And the technology these days is incredible. And I say this delicately, not to use a Taylor Swift song name, because I don't want to discredit her talent.
Yeah.
And I'm sure she has amazing pitch.
Yeah.
And 9 out of 10 times she is
pitch
perfect. But the way that sound is, I'm going to say this in simple terms.
Yeah.
Because
give it
no
to us layman style.
Yes. There's no point getting too deep into the technical. But basically, most musicians now have auto-tune built in.
But not like the Jason the Ruler kind.
That's a filter.
Right.
That's an auto-tune filter now. So when auto-tune was first invented, that's exactly
it
what
a
it
filter.
Sounded
it
like.
It sounded like trolls.
Yes. Yeah. But now that is considered its own filter that you can use. Okay. As a deliberate effect.
But now
auto-tune is so incredible that you can't actually hear the difference. Now, the margin, though, for auto-tune is really narrow.
Yeah, yeah. So you can't sing a wrong note.
No, you can't sing an E and auto-correct it to a D. You just cannot do that. You won't be sharp or flat.
Right,
that's it.
Okay.
All it does is it just reins it back in so that it is pitch perfect. And you have to be a good singer already.
Yes, yes.
For it to work.
Yes.
But
we get that technology for our live show.
Seriously, can we?
How much would it be? And can we put it in the budget?
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Imagine the confidence.
Yeah. So it's to do with how the sound is processed.
Right, okay.
From the microphone and
out
then,
into the
yeah, and
the
obviously
stadium.
It happens at the speed of sound.
This woman is Olympic level performer. You could also see it was a well-worn show, like in the best way.
Totally.
Like, I would love to be able to travel back in time and go to the first show.
Yes.
You know, when we talk about our experience, guys, we know we're not Taylor Swift. It's just like give any insight on
performing
or doing a show. We know our Melbourne had like such a magic to it because it's the first show or whatever and the adrenaline is high and it's your first audience and all that stuff. But you know the last show is like you feel the most confident with it because you know how things are going to go and you're a bit better at things and your costume works a bit better and your feet can handle a little bit more and you know what you have to do to hit certain notes or whatever. Or you have the deep fear that you're going to forget the thing you forgot in Brisbane.
Totally.
You're going to forget it tonight.
But Sydney marks the halfway mark
for her
and she's wearing that show like an old cardigan.
She is.
Just going to keep referencing Taylor
she
songs.
Is. But it's the confidence is incredible. And I'm going to say it. I don't want to bring gender politics into this. I've had a few messages from people who are like, what about I took my boys? You know, it's just as important. Yes, I agree. It is just as important. But I want to have a moment for girls because, and as you say, my inner child, your inner child, not just our 9-year-olds and our 8-year-olds, 5-year-olds, not just our 16-year-old girls, although I think for them it's particularly important. But for all the little girls in us, when you grow up in a world where all stories are centered around the male experience, where all coming-of-age movies that we grew up with were kind of through a male gaze, or, you know, we had a couple of girlhood stories, but they were also like made by men. And, you know, largely we grew up following superheroes and Steven Spielberg heroes and boys' stories, you know. When you get to see a girl telling stories of girlhood and womanhood, and she's a woman who's built an empire and she's not cool and she's not behind glass and she's not untouchable and she's warm and all those things, but she's also built this herself.
I know.
From nothing.
It's incredible.
And now world leaders are trying to get the eras to her to their country because she alters the economy and she straight up sings about misogyny.
It's staggering.
It's important.
Yeah.
You can't smugly bat it away with, I don't like her music. It's more than that. It is a moment. And for girls, you can't be what you can't see. I know it's a cliche. And I'm not saying every little girl's going to want to be Taylor Swift now and do stadium tours, but what can you take from it? It's like, if I can build something from nothing, I can just be myself and that is enough.
Yep.
If I speak my truth, it will have connection. These things aren't small. They're big deal.
Massive.
Massive.
I am in awe, and this very much speaks to me. But the discipline to work on your craft, to hone it, but to continue with it for that many long-spanning years mm-hmm. is impressive. Mm-hmm. Because I can think of so many artists who've reached burnout mm. and they're taking a big break.
Yeah.
Like Taylor, there's something in her consistency, yep. her ability to just show up.
Yeah.
It's inspiring.
Like, and all those artists who won't sing their old songs and, you know, because they get all like too big for that. She's literally singing Love Story.
But she gets her audience yes. revs. It's like how, and this is really smart, but she had to sacrifice Sabrina Carpenter's show during the electrical storm because she knew she needed to start on time. Because she knew that the show can't go on till 1 a.m. because there are children in her audience.
I know. There's nothing rock and roll about her. And that makes her so rock and roll.
But then how fabulous for her to bring Sabrina Carpenter on stage to sing a song. And there is a YouTube clip of Sabrina Carpenter at 11 years old singing that song.
I know.
And then she is. I don't know how old she is now. Like 20s?
Yeah.
Yeah, early 20s, singing it alongside Taylor. Like that is healing. Her dream.
It's healing shit. I feel healed. Same.
And also the lesson in gratitude. This is the other big takeaway for me is that there was a point in the concert, and I don't know if the chatting to the audience part is the same from show to show. So I don't know if you heard this, but one of the things that she said was me and the dancers and everyone in the band, we are living our childhood dreams.
Oh, she didn't say that.
And you are the dream audience. Because there was a moment in our show where she did a song on the piano and the applause would not end.
Oh, yeah. We had a moment like that as
well. It kept going and going and going. And Taylor Swift, at one point, she just mimes, oh, my God. Yeah. And she's in disbelief. And when she goes to talk, the screams got louder and it became this game where we were like, we're not going to let you talk because we're just going to keep applauding and we're going to keep screaming and we're halting the show. Like as an audience, we felt like we were adding to the story of this show, you know, night two in Sydney. And Taylor got really choked up and emotional. And that's when she said, you don't understand.
Yeah.
This is our childhood dream to perform to an audience like you guys. Again, it's that she has that ability to make you feel special in a crowd of 90,000 people where you're like, oh my God, I'm making her feel good. Yeah. Like it's absurd.
Dude, it comes back to her not being cool. Most people would just be like, yeah, I'm the shit and try and like own that or whatever.
Or the magic wears off.
Or the magic wears off or something. But she just like lets you be part of it.
Yeah.
It's like I worked in magazines for a while, you know, as an art director, and I worked in very cool photo studios and I worked in very cool meetings and went to all these cool events or whatever. And it's like everyone there had a childhood dream and sure, their childhood dream was about lipstick or about serums or about black and white photography or working with lighting or whatever. But somehow because of the industry and because what you're expected to be when you're in those worlds, you have to be cool. You have to play it cool. You have to hold your cards really close to your chest. You have to be chic.
I remember this era of yours.
It was hard for me.
Rev's changed her persona. Like even the way she showed up to work, I was like, who is this? She's like, well, this is my job now. I need to fit in.
Yeah.
And you used to dress a certain way and do your hair and makeup. Well, you did.
I had to. Yeah. Well, I didn't have to. And actually I worked out at some point in that. I was like, I actually don't have to. Mm. And it became my superpower to be like, actually, I'm going to tell everyone they're doing a really good job. Actually, I'm going to get excited.
Yeah.
And I'm going to let people see that I'm excited about the work we're doing. And this shot turned out and how great is that? But to start with, like I know these worlds, you know, where you have to be cool. And we've all been in those rooms, whatever industry it is, you know, it could be school, it could be work, it could be wherever, where you feel like you can't just get excited. And it does rob everyone of the experience of the process. And the fact that she lets you into that, it's just, it's magic.
It's a gift.
It's magic.
Something just landed on me about this idea of gratitude. And again, I'm not claiming Revs and I are anywhere near the leagues of Taylor Swift, but something I'm really proud of, Revsy, is you and I are 3 years deep into working on our podcast, we still look at each other and go, we can't believe we're here.
Mm.
We can't believe we get to do this. Yeah. Like we can't believe this is our job.
Yeah.
Because we feel immense gratitude for the DL community, for the fact that we do get to do this together with my best friend is the most, I'm going to get emotional. I feel emotional.
I know, because we have on the most micro
level,
little percentage of a percentage version of the understanding You're crying. And I think you're crying because, and that's what she brings out in everyone, is we feel all the time like, so wait, we just get to be ourselves and that's okay. That like helps people or makes people feel seen or appreciated. Or it's, again, like, not to get nerdy, but it's this specificity. Mm. It's like when you can actually just be yourself.
That's it.
And put a thing out and people want to be part of it.
It's, yeah, that's how I feel on the most lo-fi small scale with you. I'm like, I literally just get to be my daggy, dorky self with my best mate and talk about the hardships of motherhood or womanhood. And people are like, yes, and can we have more of it? And can we be a part of it? And then Revs and I are like, and we want to be part of our DL community. And I'm feeling emotional even just now because Revsy and I sent out the emails this morning to our DLs who have won the golden ticket prize. And one of the girls, who's one of the six, she sent us a voice message and she's crying.
Yeah.
And Revs and I listened to her voice message separately because we hadn't come together in the office yet. And the first thing we said to each other was, did you listen to her voicemail? Yeah. And I said, I cried. And yeah, Revs said, I cried too.
Yeah.
Because there's a sharedness in the feeling.
Community.
Yes, it's community. Real community. I feel like some people could listen to this and eye roll. I don't know.
I don't think they're still listening. Left a while ago. I know, it's community, and you can't ignore the state of the world, of COVID and the four fucked years we've been through. Of the wars and the horrible, horrible world leaders and people in charge, men in charge, destroying our world, destroying our hope, destroying our joy, that when something with this groundswell of joy and community and literal rhinestones comes along, that we all feel deeply about why it's so important, because we're just human beings trying to have a human experience.
Yep.
And if you think about the worst side of humanity, that was humanity at its best.
The purity of the joy.
And the womenness. You can't ignore it.
No. Nope.
The womenness.
Yeah. Amazing.
So good. I haven't watched the movie yet, but I am going to go and watch it. Me and Isla are going to watch it together, but we'll be doing that because that's a different experience, I think, rather than being there. It's almost like, I was going to say, it's like if you live streamed our, it's not, but if you like live streamed our show versus being there, it's just different. They're like both equally amazing experiences, but they're different, you know? Mm. So now I feel lucky enough that I've experienced being there. I want to now watch the actual show.
I want to nerd out on the show.
Nerd out.
From a technical standpoint,
yes.
And really appreciate the screen of the stage element because you can't really see it that well. Mm. Like Revsy was down on the ground.
I didn't see it at all.
So you couldn't see it at all. I was in the lower tiers, so I also couldn't see it well.
Yeah.
But that's a whole other element that I feel like I missed out on.
Yes.
Obviously, you could see it when the camera cut to the bird's eye view, but that wasn't the entire time.
I also really, really, really hope, and I'm sure she is, but
I feel like I know what you're going to say.
She's making a documentary about this. I mean, she must. She must be.
Surely.
Because the movie is the show, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I want to see how she trains her dancers, how she casts her dancers. Apparently she ran on a treadmill and sang the entire set every morning for 6 months. I want to see that. I want to see her with her costume designer. I want to see the set. I want to see the technical rehearsal.
I want to see the quick changes.
I want to see the quick changes. I want to see hair and makeup. I want to see that. What red lipstick is she wearing? What is she wearing? What's the shade? How does she keep it on? Does she overline first? I want to know everything. I want to know about her mum and dad on tour.
I know, her mum and dad.
I want to see on that private jet. I need all of it.
I want to see how the sets get packed down. Just from a practical POV, I'm like, what are the boxes that they go in and who transports them?
Mm, yeah.
Like, this is a traveling circus. I want the deets. The other thing I want to see is when she disappears down holes in the stage.
What is down there?
Yes. What is down there? What does it look like? How many people are there transporting her to get her to the other end underneath the stage? Mm-hmm. There's a moment DLs where she falls into the stage and then she swims.
So cool.
Obviously that was all pre-filmed. Like how much of it was pre-filmed?
Can we see those shoots?
Yes.
Can we see those shoots where she did all the like pre-filmed creative?
Because Revsy, they would have already had the show choreographed and the costumes designed before they added the visual element.
I need these details.
Yes. By the way, DLs, if you're wondering about the chants, you can literally search hashtag Taylor Swift Eras Tour chants.
Oh, cool.
And there are people talking you through each one. Now, if you don't understand what a chant is, for example, there's a song called Don't Blame Me.
Don't blame me. Love made me crazy.
If it wasn't so you, we're doing it right. So and they good. It feels like a church. The way that they light the stage is incredible. But there's a moment in there where you're supposed to yell out, take me to church, Taylor.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, all those little Easter eggs that you want to be a part of.
You're supposed to chant your city in a particular song. Yeah. There's a 1, 2, 3.
There's a 1, 2, 3, let's go, bitch. Yeah,
yeah, it's awesome. All the little things.
Wow.
Thanks for indulging us. Look, this was highly requested. This is not just me and Jem.
DLs, in truth, Revs and I texted each other late yesterday. This is not a normal record day for us. We were like, we need an emergency Taylor
record
episode. Yeah, yeah. And so we hustled to get this together and I'm delighted to be here.
Thanks for rolling around in the glitter with us. We know that if you could go, if you couldn't go, if you're watching from afar, if you're absorbing the vibes of the city, if you're watching it all online, like it's just a nice, cool part of humanity right now. And yeah.
And we're just going to float on out of the potty studio and never come down off this high.
We will be back in your ears bright and early with some real problems. Dilemonades from DLs on Friday with a bestie hotline.
We love you, DLs.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.